Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rob, who's here to speak with us about his experience of participating in the Visiting Monk Program. Welcome, Rob.
Well, thank you very much. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear. Okay, thanks for being with us today.
Okay, well, I'm thank you for asking, and I'm happy to share whatever might be helpful.
Yeah. Well, so you've actually had a very recent experience of training as a visiting monk at the monastery, and we thought it'd be fun for you to share just a little bit about your experience so that other people in the Sangha could hear a little about what it's like.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'd be happy to do that. Well, you know, what I said sometimes, is that I think that being a visiting monk is like the ultimate vacation. And what I mean by that, it's not the ultimate vacation as in, like, you know, the kind of vacation where it's all just pleasure and it feeds the ego and you feel so great. But it's the ultimate vacation in the sense that you really are alive when you're a visiting monk and you get to experience the full range of emotions. And I've been amazed to think, coming back from it, even, it's like, you know, it's like my perception of the world has changed.
Mm.
And it's a really amazing thing.
Yeah, what a wonderful way to describe it. The ultimate vacation. And not the vacation that ego would imagine, where we kind of kick our feet up and we've got the boat drinks with the umbrella in it and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of turning the brain off and checking out, going unconscious maybe. But it sounds like the ultimate vacation for the heart. And I love the way you describe that, of an opportunity to really experience, to have a really experience of being alive. It's just what a great gift to give ourselves.
Yeah, it, you know, it really is. If a change of perception is a miracle, there are miracles for more than I could possibly count. They happen constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, constantly having opportunities to get that change of perspective. And it sounded like, too, from what you described, that it lasts. You've got those opportunities for the change of perspective daily, sometimes moment by moment at the monastery, and then returning back to life in the world, that there's a new, fresh perspective available there as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's obviously being outside of the monastery is a different experience, but the kind of training, my experience is the kind of training you receive as a visiting monk, it's invaluable. There's no word for it. I mean, I can't get my brain around it. And, you know, I certainly don't want to, because that would just be going to condition mind.
Yeah. No need to wrap the brain around it or try to figure it out, but the experience is absolutely invaluable.
Yeah. You know, and probably one of the things I like, the best is, so my experience at the monastery is that there's very little reinforcement for conditioned mind, and conditioned mind feels boxed in constantly. And, you know, and that isn't always a really great feeling. When I'm identified with conditioned mind, it's painful, but by hanging with that and seeing, oh, I'm causing myself to suffer because I'm identified with conditioned mind, and making that shift, and having the practice making that shift, and suddenly see that, oh, it's only conditioned mind that's boxed in. In every moment, with every problem that comes up, like, there's always more than one way to resolve it if I turn away from conditioned mind and turn towards life.
Yeah, if there's the willingness to turn away from conditioned mind and turn towards life, there's just infinite possibilities, right? And I love the way you describe the experience of training as a visiting monk. The ego doesn't like it at all. There's all kinds of ego resistance, and ego is constantly kind of getting boxed into a corner. And when there's identification with the ego, there's an experience of pain, of, oh, I don't like this. But over and over, it sounds like what you're given the opportunity to do is to disidentify from that ego perspective and step into that much bigger, excuse me, life perspective that holds all of that. And that makes all the difference.
Oh, my God, it's huge. It's huge. And, uh-huh. You know, I have to say thank you for this opportunity to talk about it because, you know, it gave me the opportunity to think more deeply about what was the thing that was really special to me. And when I first got there, I was basically miserable.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, you know, and fine. And so I'm miserable and there are good things happening, but I'm miserable. Conditioning keeps telling me it's awful. You can't do this. You're never going to make it. Lots of negativity. And then it finally dawns on me that any problem that I perceived and conditioning perceived huge problems was always resolved in 48 hours.
Oh, wow.
And that was the first opening. I'm like, oh, it's the lie that conditioning always tells me. Conditioning is saying this is awful when in fact, no, it wasn't awful. Things are being resolved.
Wow.
That was the first step.
Yeah, that's the first step. Wow, and just right there, I mean, that alone is worth the effort, right? I mean, what an incredible experience to have, that to get to have that experience of all that ego resistance, all that ego kind of struggle. Oh, I can't stand this. I don't want this to be happening or whatever. And then just the willingness to basically just to show up. Really, that's all you have to do in that circumstance, right? The schedule so generously and kindly guides you through everything. You show up. You keep to the schedule, and then you realize, oh, my gosh, all this stuff that ego is creating this big, huge fuss about tends to just resolve itself in a very short period of time. I mean, what an incredible thing to see, and it's broadly applicable to all of life, isn't it? I mean, to see that, wow, I really don't need to believe any of those ego stories about urgency, lack, deprivation, something wrong, not enough, because it all just kind of works out.
Absolutely. In fact, before the radio show, I was feeling that urgency that, oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be ready in time. And, of course, I was reminded it's going to be fine because life just takes care of you.
Yeah.
And I didn't. And, you know, I think I learned that at such a much deeper level by my time at the monastery, learned to just like, those are, that's just conditioning, sending its usual messages, breathe, relax, it will be fine.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And Rob, as you're talking about that experience, what's dropping in for me is just seeing that, you know, it's a really wonderful thing to hear that kind of information, right? To know on an intellectual level, maybe to read in a book or hear someone talk about, you know, that's just ego and you can drop that conversation in the head and you can get here and you can trust life. That's all great to hear. It's a whole different thing to have your own present moment experience of that, right? And it sounds like what you're describing is that visiting Monk's Day is an opportunity to have your own direct experience of that incredible lesson. It's sometimes moment by moment, you know, every hour of the day while you're there.
Right, right. It doesn't exist until you have the experience. It's been my experience. Like you said, you can read about it. And, you know, conditioned mind can abstract it and say, well, that's neat. But until you experience it, it's almost like it's, you know, it's just there's nothingness until you experience it. And once you do, and at the monastery, you get to experience it over and over and over again. You start to get, you know, like Sherry says, you start to get the hang of this. You're like, oh, conditioning is telling me this is going to be bad, but it's probably going to be fine. Oh, I could just let go of that and just see what happens. Mm.
Yes, you can let go of it and just see what happens. And it sounds like, from what you're describing, there's a kind of faith that is, it's not just kind of blind faith, but it's a faith built on experience, that in that special environment, you're able to have this, that experience of that trust in life over and over and over again, and it tends to build that kind of faith. Like, I really don't have to believe those voices and what they're saying, because I've had the experience that life takes care, that everything's going to work out fine.
Yes. It absolutely builds the faith. You know, just the faith of saying, okay, there was a moment like, I'm miserable. I really just want to leave. But I'm not going to leave because my heart tells me that this is the right place to be. And to have that experience changes everything.
Yeah.
It was so amazing. I can't describe what a benefit it was.
Yeah. Words can't quite do it justice, can they? You kind of have to have your own experience and just be sparkling in that experience of gratitude.
Yes.
Well, I see we're getting close to the hour. Was there anything else you'd like to add before we end?
Well, I guess I would just say if anyone's considering doing it, and even if you're like me and you had trepidation about going, just go. Just do it. and you'll probably get huge rewards.
Just do it and experience the huge rewards. Absolutely. Yeah, and thank you for that. That reminds me as well, for folks that may not know about it yet, there is a Your Practice retreat coming up in April, I think the 8th through the 15th. A wonderful retreat and a prerequisite for first-time visiting monks. So that could be another fun thing for folks to explore as well.
Yeah, it's perfect. Go to the retreat. That's what I did. You go to the retreat. You learn a little bit about it. And then you're prepared for when you actually go as a visiting monk.
Yeah, yep, a little taste of the monastic experience. That's great. Well, thanks again so much, Rob, for being with us and sharing your experience.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Take care. Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lakota, and thank you, Rob. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was fun, wasn't it? Yeah, good, good. You?
I'm good. I'm great.
Sun is shining where we live.
Rob in Lakota.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. The rain has finally stopped briefly, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good conversation, wasn't it? And that reminder that your practice retreat and get lined up for being a visiting monk. And I thought Rob both those chaps are some of our stalwart visiting monks. So, we can trust their advice. They know whereof they speak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shall I jump into announcements, or do you want to?
Oh, sure.
Okay. In the early days of our awareness practice, Sangha gathered for a deeply fulfilling time of caring for our spiritual home. The Seasons of Joy Spring Retreat, which is March 21 through 26, offers that same joyous experience of working shoulder to shoulder with the guide in stewardship of the monastery and engagement with the sacred in everyday tasks. Guidance, workshops, yoga, and delicious food are all part of this retreat. And the Your Practice Retreat, which Lakota and Rob were just talking about, is April 8 through 15, and is a chance to step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The retreat features individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week. And this retreat is a prerequisite for first-time visiting monks.
So, Michael, I mentioned this, I think, last time we had this conversation, that the difference between those two, I mean, there will be a lot of similarities. But in the first one, where we're really focusing on, all we're together, we are caring for the monastery and learning how to work together as Sangha and accomplish the things that we want to accomplish in practice. With the second one, with your practice, each person gets to focus specifically on what's going on with them right then in their practice. which is, that's, you know, you could say that's a subtle difference, but it's huge when you're actually practicing with it.
Yes, yes. So in the second one, the Your Practice Retreat, to have your own focus, your own whatever that happens to be for the week, whereas the first one will be everybody working together and learning how to do working meditation and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. And for a not-to-miss opportunity to do the courageous work of ending self-hate, sign up now for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, April 26th through May 3rd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Worth repeating.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is really helpful. Okay, I think we're ready here, Sherry.
All right, let's go.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? First
Hello?
Caller, we can hear a little bit.
Yeah, we can hear a lot of background, huh?
Here's some background conversation.
Yeah, I think somebody... Yeah, might have forgotten that they... Got in the queue and then forgot.
Yes. All right, first caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
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 Hello, this is Helga from Charleston.
Well, hello, Helga. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm pretty good.
Good, good. What's going on?
I just always have to get over that moment when I realize I'm actually, I've gotten through to you because I've tried a bunch of times and you must have a lot of calls because I've just never been able to get on, but here I am.
But here you are.
Here I am.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
So you just want to breathe for a minute, huh? Just kind of breathe a little and get here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so, you know, first of all, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I did the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat last June here in North Carolina.
Yes,
and,
I remember.
You know, it's been an incredible journey for me since then. And one of the things that I do very, very regular, I mean, pretty much every day, is listening to the archive. And it's just been so incredibly helpful because, you know, there's always, I mean, I can always relate to a lot of what people say. And then once in a while, there's something that is just so perfect for me in my situation that I can apply to my life. It's just been really wonderful. And so
it's a wonderful ongoing workshop for deepening practice, isn't it? For kind of being steeped in the practice. Yeah, yeah.
It is, you know, and even though, you know, I mean, I sometimes lose a little bit track with, you know, my recording and listening and, you know, and I try to meditate regularly, but, you know, that sometimes I don't. But that is something because I cook for a living, so I have, you know, the time while I'm doing that, I can listen to the archives. And, yeah, and it's just been really so, so helpful.
That's very monastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there you are in the kitchen and you're cooking and it's quiet and you can engage in practice in that way. That's lovely. Yep.
It is. It's really wonderful. So, you know, so I actually wanted to become a monthly donor, and this is just a sidebar. I tried to become a monthly donor, and because I think I heard some, not that it matters, somebody I think said that they wanted to donate, you know, to the radio show because they got so much out of it, and that made so much sense to me. So I tried to sign up for that, and I've tried it 3 times, and I could never, I couldn't sign up to be a monthly donor. And, you know, I don't know why. I don't know if there's a technical difficulty. I don't know if anybody else had that problem.
Well, I'll tell you what, Helga. I can guarantee you this. There are enough people listening to us have this conversation that somebody is going to get with you and help you make that happen. Because monthly donors are a very big deal for us. Monthly donors really keep us afloat and make all of this happen. So we are going to be just ecstatic to assist you in accomplishing that.
I send a letter and I didn't get a response. So anyway, and I just really feel like, I mean, I get so much out of it that I'm, you know, very happy to, you know, give a little bit money every month. Anyway, but that's
great.
You know, anyway, so that was just on the side.
Good. So, Helga, while you're there, since you brought this up, this is not so much for you, but I'm just going to take advantage of a moment in order to say something. You know, we are an unbelievably tiny organization. And so there are so many things that we don't do as well as we would like simply because we don't have the people power to make it happen. One of the things that we had to let go of a while back was phone calls. You know, we don't have anybody who can be there to answer a phone regularly and like that.
Yeah.
So we just always hope people will be very patient with us and try to understand. Yeah, just that, like that. So it kind of breaks my heart when somebody says, "I sent a letter and I never heard back." And I think, oh, I hope it was the post office and not us. But anyway.
No, I figured that. But anyway, so, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking for some help that I can actually, you know, set myself up as a monthly donor. I would, you know.
We're on your side. We're going to make that happen for you, Helga.
Okay, good. So here's my question. It has, and I hope I can say it clearly. I mean, so that you know what I'm trying to ask you. I've talked to a friend of mine who listens to, you know, some spiritual teacher who has talked, and she, you know, reported to me that, you know, in that particular way of looking at the ego, when she feels like she is, you know, she's really wound up in her ego, she basically thanks ego for the good job that it's doing. And in the same vein, I read a course online where they were talking about how the ego is also just a young part that needs to be included and integrated into a person's life, like I think in that particular way of thinking, it was like a young part that needs to be held and embraced and integrated. And very often when I listen to the archives, I probably don't quite understand it properly. I sometimes feel like there's like a duality, you know, between, you know, there's ego and egocentric karmic conditioning, and then there is life. So in my head, it becomes this duality. As far as I have understood you, is also really the world of egocentric karmic conditioning is based on duality. So
yes.
I'm just trying to understand, you know, it's like if God is all there is, which is something that you said.
Mm-hmm.
How is ego not part of God. You know,
well, yes, that's a very, very good question. And the first part of that is there are tons of people who have different ways of looking at things. The reason that I talk about it the way I do is the very simple sort of Zen perspective that there is nothing that is separate, okay? As I hardly ever use the word God, but sometimes, you know, it's so if we say all that is all that is, then it starts sounding a little strange. But there isn't anything other than this. So when we talk about it as this here now, that's it.
Yeah.
This here now. There's nothing else. So everything is included in that. Everything is included in that. But if I were to say, okay, Helga, let's, I think you're from Germany originally, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, so let's sit here, we'll close our eyes, and let's imagine that we're in Germany. And we are going to find a little cafe, and we are going to have my favorite Kuchen.
Okay.
Are you there with me? Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So here we are, and we're imagining that. And we can, you know, if we're good imaginers, we can get really, boy, I can taste it. It's just, oh, it's delicious. But are we in Germany having Kuchen, or are we imagining that we're in Germany having Kuchen? We're imagining it. It's just happening in our heads, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
That is the relationship that I encourage people to have with ego. It's imaginary. It's not a real thing. It's not a child. It's an imaginary world, a conversation that creates the illusion of a reality that doesn't actually exist. So people, a lot of spiritual teacher people will say, but isn't conditioned mind really handy just to take care of the, you know, the little daily, you know, like you could be cooking, you could be chopping vegetables. And why would you want to, you know, conditioned mind can do that. Why would we want to turn anything of our lives over to the imagination? If I'm chopping carrots, I want to be right here, alive, in my body, breathing, chopping those carrots, aware of every little stroke of that, because this is my life. This is what's actually happening. I don't want to be chopping carrots and having daydreams about conversations with other people or reviewing the past or having memories come up. I don't want to do that. I want to be right here. So ego, this is as clear as I can say it, and I wish I had a clearer way. Ego is the illusion of somebody that is separate from life. It creates an illusion that there's a constant me that is actually separate, that is the subject to which life is the object. And that illusion is maintained through this conversation, this incessant conversation. I like that, and I'm going to go there, and I'll do that. And I don't understand why he seemed really, and they, you know, and that, yeah, it's like my father, you know, just like, it's exactly like that. That's just, okay? So
yeah,
that's what ego, that's what that illusion of being separate from life is doing. It's constantly maintaining that reality that is not reality. It doesn't exist. And so there is that voice in the head going, and, you know, if you hadn't said that to her, it really hurt my feelings. It really hurt my feelings when she said that. Now, I'm going to go take care of an illusion who has imaginary hurt feelings over something that, no, I don't want to do that.
Hmm.
Are
so,
you with me?
So let me just, yeah, I'm with
okay,
you.
Okay, all right. Next step.
So, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No. I said if we're good on that, we can go to the next step. What's next?
Yeah. No. So I get that. I mean, obviously, that is my experience on a daily basis, you know, that imaginary conversation that I have and, you know, getting upset over imaginary conversation that I have with people. So I totally get that. But, I mean, but the capacity of the brain to have that kind of imagination, I mean, that is an inherent capacity of the brain, and isn't that also part of God?
I mean, yes.
If you don't want to hear God, I mean,
and all of it is. Everything is. Every bit of it is. Every bit of it is. And that unique little ability that we have is how we're able to suffer. Yeah. Are you still there?
I'm here. I get that too, but. So is this like just like a misuse of a capacity that is inherent in our biology, or is this, aren't we then fighting against what is inherent in our biology?
No.
This is
what I love so much about what the Buddha taught. Okay. Now the Buddha, you know, didn't teach right and wrong, right? He taught one simple thing. And that is that if you want not to suffer, there's a way not to suffer. He didn't say, if you're a good, right person, you'll do that. That people who don't do that are bad, wrong people. He didn't say you're going to go to heaven. He didn't say God's going to like you better. He didn't say any of that. He said, if you are suffering and you don't want to suffer, I can show you how not to suffer. And that's all we're talking about.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, again, now to finish off that, the idea of it's a little child, okay, so we'll talk about me because then nobody has to get defensive if I'm talking about me. So I come in and I have certain karmic predispositions. Now, that's a Buddhist perspective. A lot of people would say that's nonsense. You're a blank slate when you come in and then everything that happened to you is nature or nurture and but this is a Buddhist perspective, right? So I come in with certain karmic predispositions, and I run into my parents, right? And they have their karmic predispositions and their conditioning and their beliefs and assumptions and all that stuff, and I've got to survive this encounter, right? So my mother is this way, and so I'm this way with my mother. My father is that way, so I'm that way with my father. Then I go to school, and oh, my God, my teacher is just like my father, and how am I going to? I just get so upset, right? I'm just so upset. And every time I run into a male who is like my father, emotionally I turn into a five-year-old. And now, according to psychology, that little five-year-old needs to be nurtured into a different life experience. But according to the practice that we do, what happens is the moment that you are centered, that little child doesn't have any problems because that little child doesn't exist. Because that little child existed however many years ago five was, and probably at that time was not having the experience that the conversation inside the head wants us now to believe was the life experience of that little child. So when we come back to center and we're completely here, not separate from life at all, not engaged in any of the karmic, egocentric, conditioned nonsense, everybody is fine. There's nothing to do, nothing to fix, nothing to change, nothing to be, nothing to nothing, which is our experience. I bet it's your experience too.
Yeah.
Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. Yep.
Yeah. Well, all the time. Anytime you're here, there are no problems. We have to leave here in order to go into a conversation that creates the illusion of a problem. Yeah. So when it's now, then there's only now, and there's what is here in now. So maybe I've just gone into the wherever it is, and I've upset the whoever it is, and he starts yelling at me. Now, if I leave the moment and I go into this identification, this story of I'm 5 years old and this is my father, he's yelling at me, and it's so upsetting, then I have a big issue. If I'm right here, if I'm right here in this moment where this is happening, that story doesn't exist. And I can be really interested probably in what is going on with him that he is so upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that all hang together?
Yeah, you know, I probably have to listen to this a few times in the archive.
Uh-huh. Yeah. While you're chopping or whatever. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is kind of a lot to take in because it's so counter to what that egocentric karmic conditioning system wants us to believe. Because when we believe all of that stuff, it keeps ego at the center of our lives, running our lives, controlling us, making the decisions. And it's a force. It doesn't, it's like being addicted to sugar. You know, the little sugar addict doesn't just want to stop eating sugar. It's gonna fight in order to continue its addiction. Ego is the same way. So is it a problem? No. It's our best. As far as we can tell, it's our best path to awakening, to freedom. All right. When you have a chance to digest that, then we can talk again. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Good. I've enjoyed it. Thank you, Helga.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. Sherry, that was a deep conversation. Lots to look at.
Very deep.
Good.
Yeah. Kind of just went through Zen practice right there, huh? Just step by step.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And we are going to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Brad. I'm in New Jersey. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Brad, we can. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you both doing?
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, this is my first time calling. I'm working with a coach in the coaching program, but this is my first time on Open Air.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I brought this up to my coach on our call, which was actually just a couple hours ago today, and it was at the end of the call, and my coach suggested that since we didn't have time to talk, maybe I could call in. So my question has to do with sometimes when I'm meditating, I feel like I'm close to seeing how separation occurs, how the I kind of comes up. And it kind of bugs me because it becomes a little frustrating. I see how there's like this slight movement away from center, like following the thought, and just like maybe a resistance or tension that occurs. And I guess my question is whether I tend to think this is a distraction, and what I should do is maybe put it aside and just return to the breath, following the breath or counting the breath. But I'm not sure. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were. Is it something to pursue, or is it really just the ego that wants to see, you know, how that all works and try to put it into
okay.
It?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what it was but let me see if I'm following. So you've noticed this thing that happens when you're sitting and there's a temptation to get involved with it. And you're wondering, should you get involved with it to pursue it, to see if you can kind of figure it out or see how the whole thing works, or should you just drop it and come back to the breath? Is that the question?
I think that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with door number two.
Which was just come
definitely
back to the breath.
Definitely drop it. Yeah, just drop it and go back to the breath. Because, and this is, since this is a very subtle place in sitting practice, we'll have a subtle conversation here. And that is that there you are, and you become aware, you see, if we can say it that way, you see this thing happening. Now, if you weren't there, present, you wouldn't see it happen. But you are there, and so you see it. Then conditioned mind wants you to see more about it. And its version of seeing more about it is basically to think about it, to review it, to go over it. Well, this and then that and that, and then there's that. Is this kind of the experience that you're having?
I think so. I think there's an attempt to somehow not do whatever it is I'm doing that takes me away from center, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. And so it's what conditioned mind wants you to do is to do something so that you don't leave center.
Right. Which,
but the doing something is what takes you away from center.
Right. Okay.
And that first piece of that, if you want to see it, if you want to see anything, you have to be present. Right? The moment we start to think about, analyze, figure out, go back over, whatever it is, we've lost our opportunity to be present enough to have the awareness, to have the insight.
Mm. Right. I think I see that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really fascinating because we were just talking with Helga, of course, about ego and what that is and what that system is. And that's the movement right there. In away from what's arising, what's unfolding in the moment, and the awareness of awareness, right? The awareness of awareness, which is what's going on there, as it unfolds, and then the movement into someone who is going to observe that, have a relationship with it, somebody who's having the experience.
Mm. Yeah? Right. Right.
So it's really a beautiful thing because in staying in that place of awareness, where whatever is there, whatever unfolds, whatever arises, is unfolding and arising, and there is a way. I don't want to say, and you're there for it, because the experience is you are not there for it. Awareness is there for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's no you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. We're dissolving that illusion of an I that we're so deeply conditioned to believe is a requirement. Right? So how can there be an experience if there's no one to experience it? That's what you're finding out.
Okay. So it's sort of like you have to let it happen rather than letting the ego
yes.
get involved trying to make it happen or figure it out, right?
Or take ownership of it, which is worst of all, right? Oh, I had this awareness that, well, actually, no, you didn't. But that it, to stay in that place of just awareness, 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 awareness. And it's so tempting to, you know, jump up and with the, oh my gosh, this is what I saw. Oh, that's how it works. You know, so we all do that. Because it's very, very exciting, right? But in over time, what we're learning is just to stay there. Because if we thought that was good, wait till the next one, right? You don't want to miss it. In that amount of time that we're running around being so excited about what I just saw, or what I just realized, what I just got, the unfolding, 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 and we're not there for it.
Right. Okay, well, I...
Did it speak to it, Brad?
Yeah, it did. I appreciate that.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. All right.
Okay, well...
Well, thank you. Let me know how it goes.
Okay, I will. Thank you very much. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. And Sherry, I noticed from that conversation that the ego is endlessly tricky.
It is a worthy opponent, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, Michael, that's the thing. All of these things are so subtle that we're trying to catch on to. So in conditioned mind, you know, ego is either a good thing or it's a bad thing. Well, actually, it's not a thing. So it's not either good or bad. But what we realize is all of these things that I believe are true and real and who I am and how it is and how it should be and all of that are just things that are being attended to instead of presence, right? Mm. That's not a bad, wrong thing. It's just that's where suffering is. So if we get to the point of not wanting to suffer any longer, then letting that go is what we begin to work on. So we watch it arise, and we drop it, and we come back here to the breath. Here it comes again. Drop it and come back. It's not a problem because we're learning how to be present. So it's a tremendous gift. Does that mean we want to bring it in and turn over the master bedroom and bath to it? No. No, it's not that at all. You know, we don't need to hate it, and we don't need to love it. We don't need to have any relationship with it at all. We just notice what's there, drop it, and come back here.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So simple.
So simple, and so challenging sometimes. Yes.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And we have another caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, we had some background there, but it sounds like you're coming through loud and clear. Who's this?
This is Jennifer. From New Mexico.
Jennifer. How are you doing?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you could hear me or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not used to using headphones.
Yep, you sound good.
Okay. Can you still hear me?
You sound even better.
Okay. I switched to the speakerphone. Sorry.
That's all right. That's good. What's going on?
Not much. I'm just, let's see. Oh, well, I'm just totally loving the conversations tonight.
Oh, good.
The
practice is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, they're just extremely insightful and very intelligent conversations. It's really cool.
Good.
So, let's see. What have I been doing for practice? Let's see. Just my normal stuff. Oh, one thing that I experienced today was recording and listening. I seem to have dropped into a place where my morning like was being taken over kind of with the ego and just voices and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that every time I pick up the recorder and start recording about how I feel, like right away, I feel better for the rest of the day.
Yes. Oh, very good. It's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if I may, not this is another one of those where perhaps not so much for you, but for anybody else who's listening, to realize how difficult it is to wake up in anything other than some degree of conditioning. Right? We've been asleep. Mm-hmm. Conditioning's been working on us, you know, conversations in the head all night long, dreams, all the feelings, the emotions that go with that. We wake up into that, and we are trained to allow whatever we're feeling, even if it's the residue of a dream or something like that, whatever we're feeling, that sets the tone, right? And if we go with that, then conditioned mind just takes it over and begins to build on it. And as we've noticed, it'll get worse and worse and worse. As you say, you pick up that recorder and you start talking about what's going on and your experience changes completely.
That's what it actually wants is for you. I mean, that's why it's building these stories, is that it wants you to have this new story for your day. And as soon as you have that, you can be lost immediately.
Yes.
And
yes.
Your day is actually, it can be lost just because of that. And I've lost many days of my life.
Yes, I think we all have, Jennifer. I think we all have,
Of that story. And like, please, no more. let's try something else.
Yes, and so when what happens, for people who like the science of things, what happens there is, if I wake up into that state, whatever it is, and then conditioned mind is allowed to just sort of free associate, right? And that goes to that story, which reminds me of that, and then I'm in that, and then I'm feeling that way. And all the time this is going on, there's an emotional reaction to all of this, and the stories are building, and the emotions are building, and I'm feeling worse and worse and worse and worse. And so when you record, when you pick up that recorder, what's happening is you're taking your attention away from that series of buildups.
Yeah.
And you're bringing your attention back here to the present, where none of that is true or real, right? Now you're talking about what's happening right here.
You've stolen it back.
That's right. You've got your energy back now.
You've stolen it from the whatever its little thing that it's created. I mean, very, very first thing that I woke up today, I sensed the voices in my head, like, kind of gathered together, and my voices like to create little characters of themselves. I sensed that. I immediately felt dread and thought, oh no, not another day of this. That's where I went today. Really, that was what was going to be my day, and I was just like, I was just like, you know, God's created this new day, you know, life has created this new day, I'm like this brand new person, and, you know, I stopped, and I was just like, this is what my life is going to be like for this whole day, and I don't get another chance at this, and I don't get this back, and this is going to be my day. And so, I grabbed a recorder and stole it back from that, and it changed my whole day.
Yes.
There was no more dread. I just started recording and listening, and I just started recording, and I was able to, I started with that, you know, this is how I feel. This is, you know, what it means to me. And then just gradually unfolded all of those stories, and then I was able to start talking about, like, you know, plans like that I had around this day and stuff like that. And so it was just
how you choose your day to be, right?
Yeah.
What I choose for my life. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we go from that that dread feeling and the content of the dread feeling, because dread will always manage a content. And we go from that to process, that what I choose for my life is this. How I want my focus to be, what I want my focus to be on today, what I choose for as my attitude, where I want to be coming from throughout my day.
Everything. I instantly felt better. I mean, like my attitude, my whole being was changed dramatically.
Because you were here.
Yeah.
Because you were here, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing I could figure.
Yes. Yeah, well, that
is
exactly
it. It must be
because
I'm being present to my own self, and that was just this story I was going to create, or ego creates, let's change that right now. And it worked, and I've had a pretty good day since.
Yeah, and to realize that we always have that ability, always, no matter what's going on with us, if we follow that series, that will be our experience. Now, sometimes people will record and listen, and they'll say, well, you know, I don't feel any better. And the odds are very good that that's because that conditioned mind did the recording. So we listen back to that, and we listen for, was that a conversation about this here now? Or was that a conversation about dread? And so if it was the conversation about dread, we say, okay, delete. Let's start over. Okay, let's come back to the breath and just be in the body and feel the breath moving in the body and maybe look outside and maybe there's a tree. Maybe I can hear a bird singing. Maybe there's some blue sky. Maybe there's, I'm now moving around and I'm, for me, it would be getting a cup of tea, you know, and you're here with yourself in your day. And when you listen back to it, the difference is that there's a feeling of well-being, a feeling of kind of excitement instead of dread, right?
Right. Yes. And it's and if you haven't recorded long enough, you know, if it's something rather that really gets you, like sometimes it really, really will get you. And if you don't record long enough, then maybe you haven't, you know,
haven't broken through.
Shoved ego out the door fully, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it leaves the recording
all
you need, you know?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You
just
stay
keep going
with it
until
you're
you've
here.
Got all the dust, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Until you can't think of anything else to say about that subject, and then you get to move on to life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you've got that all out now. Move on to life, and then once you've moved there, you can start having a pretty good day, as long as you don't let it take back over and you keep your eye on that ball.
Yes, and that's a good reminder for anybody who's kind of new to this, that if people go to recordandlisten.org, their instructions for doing the exercise that you just laid out, the two-handed exercise, where you basically step back and become the person who can listen to the person who's feeling dread in this case, and listen to her talk about what it is, and then can offer her some different possibilities, can be with her and offer her some different possibilities. And as you say, once we get through that, okay, now we're here. Now we get to look at what we choose for ourselves and our lives.
Yeah, our new day.
That's great. That's
yeah,
great. Thank
absolutely.
You so much,
thank
Jennifer.
You, thank you.
That's a great little kind of a tutorial for all of us on
okay.
how to start the day and how to get out of the voices of gloom, doom, and dread.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
all
you
right.
very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Right. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. And Sherry, we have time for one more caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Hi, it's Anna from Yorkshire in England. Can you hear me okay?
Well, hello. Yes, absolutely.
Hi,
how
Anna.
Are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad that I got on towards the very end, I'm guessing. So, really great. I'm doing good.
Yes.
We've got lots and lots of rain here, so maybe we've got your
oh.
rain.
We are living parallel lives. That's very good.
Yeah. I'm doing great. I'm just calling just to check in. I'm really enjoying Project Joy, and it's really helping me in my practice. Over here in England, that connection every day. It's helping me to be, it feels like it's helping me to be more present every day. And I'm seeing the voices more, which is great. And it's also sort of helping me with the recording and listening, and to sort of keep doing that, and also to do my meditation practice every day. So all of it, really. Yeah.
And then when you call us in the middle of your night, we're sort of bookends for your life, right?
That's
such a, I'm right there with you, Anna. That daily focus and the daily encouragement to do the recording and listening, all of us having the same focus is really powerful, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it really is. I feel like, I don't even know what day we're on. We're on the 21st of February, aren't we? I just feel like already a different person to when I started. I'm just seeing so much all the time, I think, because I'm just sort of... So I'm sort of meditating in the morning and then recording and listening throughout the day. And then for me, it's listening to the show at tea time. It's just constant, and it's really helping me with, I think, with what I think I maybe struggle with most. I don't know, but focusing, just focusing really, and paying attention, seeing what's happening, and being able to move the attention and put it to where I want it to.
Mm-hmm. And the point that you're making is such an important one. When we start out in practice, the voices are in a constant, at least this was true for me, and I think it is for other people, a constant negotiation about how much do I have to do. It's kind of like what is the for many people, there is that honeymoon period where all I want to do is practice. And then we go into the negotiations of, okay, well, is this enough? And every day, and how, and especially with recording and listening, we hear, well, how much do you have to record and listen every day? Mm-hmm. And then we get to the place where you are in practice, where it's just obvious your whole life is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? you're just a happier human being. You're enjoying every aspect of your life more than you did before. And now it's not a matter of, okay, how much more do I have to do? It's, I love all of the support that helps me keep my attention on the fact that I have a great life and I love it, and that everything that happens is a little private workshop just for me to help me be more present, more grateful, and more joyful.
Yes, that's it.
It's just a whole different thing, isn't it? It's just a completely, different orientation to life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everything is practice. Absolutely every tiny little thing.
Yeah. How you make that cup of tea. How you are with yourself as you drink that cup of tea. Right?
Absolutely, yes. I catch myself doing that, like, oh, no, and then a little voice comes in and says, oh, you don't need to do that now, do it later. And I'm like, no, now.
We're doing it now. Now is the time.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's not hard, and it's not a punishment, and it's as soon as we're not being pushed around by those voices in the head, then life drops us into do now. Well, then I want to do this now. And I want to do it with a smile and a thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
good.
Yeah. And it's been a fantastic show this evening. All the callers, just amazing. So I'm looking forward to listening to it again in the morning.
Oh, good. Oh, very good. Very good. All
yeah,
right.
So
well,
you.
Thank you. Are you going to get some sleep now?
I am, yes.
Okay. All right.
To listen to the
good
sound.
To hear your voice.
Go to sleep.
Yeah.
All right. Night to you and to Michael. Night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Oh,
good
and
night.
See you soon.
I know. Yay.
Yeah. Very exciting. She has to rest up because she's coming to see us, you know, so she needs to get some sleep. All right. Well, there we are, Michael,
Yes, there we are at 2 minutes to the hour. Well done, everyone.
Well done, us. Yeah. So thanks to everyone, and really appreciate it, and look forward to doing this again next week.
Me too. Can't wait.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Okay. Good night.